button on 1037thebuzz.com. Or you can fire off an email to the zone at 1037thebuzz.com.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words.
1233 in the zone. Thanks for tuning in. A couple of Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback items, and then we will head to the Revolution Hotline, talk to Barrett Salee, who is his own favorite. JC in Little Rock says, Belichick isn't the worst interview ever. Helen Keller would have to be the worst interview ever.
This is, like, wrong.
JC, seriously. It's not going to be lonely down there, but it is going to be hot. So just get ready. Chris says, you're thinking Kings of Leon. Y'all talked about it before. Yes, Kings of Leon. Thank you. That was another band that the Pigskin Preacher turned me on to. So, all right, we go to the Revolution Hotline at 1234. Barrett Salee standing by. Barrett, how are you?
Yeah, but Helen Keller jokes? I mean, come on. Now.
I know.
That is awful.
Hey, we're in the doldrums of summer, my friend. People are busting out all the bad material.
I'm as lowbrow as it gets, but I mean, come on now.
Yeah, that's below the belt. Totally uncalled for. Barrett's with BleacherReport.com if you never heard him before. Barrett, earlier in the week we were talking about strength of schedule. The rich get richer, the poor get kicked in the face. Now, the one bit of solace that Brett Bielema has this year, of course, is that if anybody's seen the picture of his wife recently, he's doing all right at home. But they do have the toughest schedule in the SEC, according to a report that we saw this week. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. It's a really tough schedule. Tennessee is going to be in there too, but Arkansas is, you know, we've talked about it before. It is really hard, and I think leaves really small margin for error because, you know, that five-game stretch starting with the Rutgers game in late September, I mean, I wouldn't say it's likely that they'll go 0-5, but if they lose to Rutgers, it is. And so at that point, you basically have to be pretty flawless the rest of the year to make a bowl game and hope that you're not beat up and worn down from that stretch. Otherwise, it's going to be a struggle to make a bowl game. Yeah, Arkansas, you know, the schedule makers didn't do Brett Bielema any favors, but like you said, he's apparently winning off the field and in the game of life.
So yes or no, you think Arkansas is going to win the national championship?
No.
Just checking.
Right. Not with that schedule, no.
I also saw a story this week. Now, mind you, my intern pulled this, so this doesn't make it true. But non-conference SEC strength of schedule. Arkansas is sixth on this list, and I'm thinking, man, Samford's on that list of non-conference games, and Arkansas is only sixth. Who in the heck is South Carolina playing?
South Carolina has Clemson. That's their big one.
But they must be playing some real stinkers outside of that.
Yeah, they're. I get behind the schedule in front of me, but they're required to play an FCS opponent in the state of South Carolina by law.
So that's they have the hardest one. I'm sorry. I read this upside down. I'm reading this backwards. My bad. So they must have a decent one. I guess I should be asking, who is Vanderbilt playing? And more importantly, Alabama has the 13th hardest non-conference SEC strength of schedule. So Alabama didn't exactly load up outside the SEC.
They have Virginia Tech, and that's pretty much it. And then after Virginia Tech, it's pretty much – I think they have Colorado State, which is the McElwain game and part of the deal to allow him to move on. And I think they have Chattanooga and some other, you know, cream puff, Georgia State maybe or somebody like that. So Alabama's not really lighting the world on fire. But they do have Virginia Tech, so I think that speaks, to what people think of Virginia Tech and Logan Thomas this year, and B, how bad the rest of the non-conference slate is for them. And Vandy's got that, you know, end of the season rivalry game that they sort of developed with Wake Forest, which is pretty solid, you know, for Vanderbilt, you know, playing a team like Wake Forest every year is not the worst thing in the world. I think it's kind of cool. And then UMass, UAB, and really nobody else. But Austin Peay, they actually had Vanderbilt going to UMass, which is just bizarre to me.
Wow. Yeah. Somehow that guy, there must have been confusion in the contract, and then they just signed off on it on accident.
That's, you know, I think they said last year, I mean, maybe it's part of a 2-for-1. I actually don't even know the details of that. But Vanderbilt at UMass, I'm not sure the reason for that one.
Well, look, Miami's playing at ASU in a couple of years. So, I mean, you know, if you can get Miami to Jonesboro, I don't know why you can't get Vandy at UMass. Plus, it's nice up there.
South Carolina's playing Central Florida at Central Florida, which is, you know, I think that actually makes sense because you want to go down there and you know, be seen by the South Florida kids,
right.
Central Florida kids, which makes a ton of sense. But
You're not trying to say that the greater Boston area doesn't have a lot of kids that in Amherst area don't have a lot of kids that would be great to play for in the SEC, are you? You're not suggesting that, are you?
I'm not suggesting it. I'm playing.
Okay.
No, I mean, you know, if you want to go to the SEC, you know, and you're from that area, why go to Vandy? Go to, you know, if you're good enough, go somewhere else.
Yeah. Trying to think of it. Well, there's probably some recruits that come out of there. And Alabama's in a position now where, again, they don't really have to schedule anybody good as long as they have the reputation. They have Nick Saban. I mean, they can basically play a stink schedule the rest of the way, right? I mean, as long as they've got the record, they're not going to be left out of the Final Four when we get to that point in the next couple of years.
Well, they may be. You know, I think it depends on the circumstances because, you know, you look at, you know, Alabama's schedules the last 2 years, you know, the SEC cannibalized itself. And really, Alabama was very fortunate to get the luck that it needed around the country to get back in the position to claim those national titles. You know, if they lose a game, then the schedule can be a detriment to them. So I wouldn't be so sure. You know, they getting in the top four is obviously easier than getting in the top two. But you don't want to schedule yourself out of the possibility. You want to, if anything, make sure losses count less, and if you have a weak schedule, they're going to count more.
Well, Alabama, I think I saw the Golden Nugget had their lines out earlier in the week. They were the first ones to release lines, and it's way too early to be looking at this, but I think they were a 17-point favorite over Vatek. I didn't look at all their conference games, but they were favored in, of course, everything, so it's not a big surprise. Where do they play? Is the LSU game there, or is it in Tuscaloosa this year?
LSU game is in Tuscaloosa this year, okay. Which is LSU had success there a couple years ago. So it's
true.
Alabama, yeah, the Gold Nugget lines. I mean, it's just mind-boggling how favored Alabama is in every game. And honestly, it's probably not high enough at this point.
Barrett Salee, BleacherReport.com, join us. I think the most intriguing team going into the season is Georgia. Mm-hmm. Georgia's got just enough back. You got quarterback play that you know will be good. I mean, this seems to me to be, and of course they flirted with it last year, but this seems to me to be the year that they own the East. I think Florida's going to take a step backwards this year. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think Georgia puts its stamp on the East this year.
You're not crazy. You're right. Florida's going to take a step back, and I love Georgia this year. You know, a lot of people are going to say, well, they lost all that talent on defense. Well, that defense was pretty awful last year. You know, 12th in the SEC against the run. They get all their pieces offensively back, and then the pieces on defense, I think, are better suited to run that 3-4 scheme. You know, Jordan Jenkins is more of a downhill linebacker. That's going to help him run. You know, the two safeties, Josh Harvey-Clemens and Trey Matthews, although Josh Harvey-Clemens is going to be out the first game with a suspension, you know, those two guys are LSEC players right now. They're that good. So, I like Georgia. I think if people are writing off Georgia because of the lack of defensive talent and the players that left last year, I don't think those people actually really watched Georgia all that well because they – more times than not, were forced into shootouts and won almost all of them.
Barrett, we were talking earlier, college football considering adding bowl games in a number of towns, including right here in our own Little Rock, which I hope if they do, you'll be here to cover it. But other towns they're looking at, allegedly, Los Angeles. I didn't know they're allowed to play football there. Ireland, Dubai, Nassau in the Bahamas, Miami, Orlando, Boca Raton. What do you think? Have you heard anything about the potential for these bowl games?
I'm all for them. I love them. I love bowl season. I think one of the silliest arguments I think in college football is that there are too many bowl games. Well, college football is fun, and I want to see bowl games. I like bowl games. I like bowl games that match up teams that are theoretically even too. Mm-hmm. So I don't see what the harm is. You know, sure the financial the issues with the bottom line and guaranteed ticket pricing and stuff is an issue. But if they're going to hold a bowl game in Dubai, they're going to make sure everybody's happy. It's Dubai. I mean, they'll play on an island that floats in the bay or something, or on top of a 600-story skyscraper. That's it's not that big of a deal to have bowl games that are fun to watch during the holiday season. I've never understood the argument when people say, well, bowl games should be a reward. Well, they are a reward. They're a reward for all the players that. Work their tails off for 4, 5, 6 months to get in a position to be invited. So I'm all for it. And if there's an SEC team that plays in that Nassau Bowl and at Atlantis in the Bahamas, you can go ahead and send me to cover it because
I know I'm already there. I'm going, Barrett.
Well, that's my deal. And if you're a fan that has to be following a team all year that ends up 500, like Arkansas fans are sure to be this year, you deserve a trip to Nassau.
Absolutely. And Brett Bielema gambling at that casino, that'd be fantastic.
I mean, tropical location, Brett and Jen running around. I mean, there's a lot of upside there for fans.
Come on.
All right, there was another website that I shall not mention that was talking about some of the most shameful college football matchups in the coming season. So I want to get your thoughts on some of these. No surprise, there are some SEC teams that figure in this. One of the teams was Nicholls State, which I thought was interesting. That's a Southland Conference team, which also has a team here in the state, UCA. They're playing in Oregon after going out and getting killed by Oregon State last year, a game they had to reschedule because of the hurricane. So it got they got their beating later on in the season. But here are the SEC teams that are mentioned in this 15-game list. Austin Peay playing at Tennessee on August 31st. Austin Peay was 2-9. They were 1-7 in the all-powerful Ohio Valley Conference last year. Western Carolina, which didn't win a Southern Conference game last year, went 1-10 overall, is traveling to Auburn. You're welcome. Enjoy it, Gus. what else we got here? Ole Miss is hosting Southeast Missouri State. Alabama and Chattanooga, which you mentioned. At least Chattanooga had a winning record last year, Barrett. They were 6-5, and that's the only one. I guess that's it. So.
Yep. There are going to be some empty seats at all those. But, you know, those are – Chattanooga, I don't know what their deal is. They always end up on somebody's schedule. Chattanooga is always playing. Like, they played Oklahoma a couple times. But, I don't mind them. It's football. It's important. I think it's important for those programs to get that paycheck. It's important for, the programs that are, paying the paycheck to get their players fine-tuned. You know, you can't play 12 straight tough games. It's just not realistic, especially in college football. So, I don't necessarily love those games, but I don't mind them. I recognize that they exist for a reason, and without them, a lot of those programs would not be able to do a lot of the things that they do.
It's 1-800-PIGSKIN, Barrett. It's for football anonymous. I mean, you're a footballaholic. You have a serious problem. When you're excited about a Chattanooga matchup, you seriously need to seek professional help.
I like football. Football's fun. And,
now you sound like Rob Gronkowski.
I have a question.
I like football. Football fun.
Are you a big NFL fan?
No, I can't stand the NFL.
Can't stand it.
It's funny. Everyone down here, you either love college or you love NFL,
but
you don't do both.
I'm more college, but I like both. What about, I was going to ask you about your philosophy on FCS playing FBS teams in general. What's your thought on that?
I don't mind them. Some states like South Carolina mandate those games. But I don't mind them as long as they're, not being abused. As long as, a team in the SEC is going out and scheduling one really tough game and then a couple of pretty solid out-of-conference matchups or even just decent out-of-conference matchups, I'm okay with an FCS opponent because, those players need those games. Those players, those lesser programs need those games to have the money they need to compete for their own conference titles. So I'm okay with it. As a fan, it's not the best thing in the world to see, but, it's not a perfect world, and I think if you schedule 12 out-of-conference games and you lose two of them and you knock yourself out of the national championship race, then most fans would be pretty upset about it, too.
Barrett Salee of BleacherReport.com joining us. This is not an SEC-related, but I'm sure you probably saw this story. Wes Welker, who is always outspoken and got in trouble a few times with the Patriots when he was there, he actually commented this week about how he's a little bit able to be himself and enjoying the fit in Denver, maybe a little bit better for his personality. Recently noticed a tweet from a 4-star wide receiver who said he was going to go, he was having the time of his life. And then Wes asked him if he was going to visit Texas Tech, and the guy said no, he was visiting BYU. And then Welker started taking shots and suggested he go check out Texas Tech. This is pretty par for the course for Wes Welker, but he's catching a little heat. And now the question becomes, was there any sort of violation as a graduate of Texas Tech?
It's not the best thing in the world to do, and that would be a violation. It'd be a secondary one, and he'd be told to cease and desist. But you can't be actively recruiting players if you're an NFL player, because at that point, I think you're automatically an ambassador to the program. So you can't do that. So that's an issue. But Wes Welker, that's kind of par for the course for him. He doesn't seem to care a whole lot, which is nice. It's nice to have those guys out there saying things that some other athletes probably wouldn't say or wouldn't do. And it's all it's going to be is a slap on the wrist and a don't do it again. And Texas Tech and Wes Welker will move on.
Well, with the with the new hire over there, their profile's been raised exponentially anyway. So a little more attention, I guess, is probably good for them. But he says, name the last wide receiver in the league from BYU. I will give you 50 more reasons why that would be a bad move. He says. That's funny. Poor BYU. Can't we just leave them alone?
I can't even think of a wide receiver from BYU that played in the NFL, but I don't really watch a whole lot of NFL, so I don't really know.
Well, they got to have some wide receivers. They had a couple of high-profile quarterbacks that did pretty well. Certainly somebody was catching those passes.
You would think so. Ty Detmer was all right back in the day.
Seems like more of a tight end school than a wide receiver school of late, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And a linebacker school. They got a lot of linebackers out there.
Yeah. Barrett, anything else we want to hit on?
Not a whole lot. It's recruiting season, so it's going to be interesting here in the next week or two, because a lot of these players are going to be camping at different camps, and you're going to have probably a wave of quarterback commitments, not only in the SEC but around the country as schools start really deciding who of the quarterback class of 2014, they actually want to offer committable scholarship offers to, not just non-committable scholarship offers.
We will stay tuned on that. My man, I appreciate the time as always. Take care.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. It's Barrett Salib, BleacherReport.com. Final break coming up. It is 12:48. And we will wrap things up when we come back. I don't know what we're going to do. I can't wait to find out. It's going to be a potpourri.
I thought we were going to do birthday trivia. Again today.
You know what? We'll do it. 433-1037. It's not a great birthday day, I'll admit it. I have 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 I could do, I guess. But we have prizes to give away. They're all the same, whether the birthdays are good or not, right?
Let's be honest. People love prizes.
They do love prizes, Christina. You're catching on to this whole radio thing.
Hello, I caught that.
1-800-477-1037 or 433-1037 if you would like to play birthday trivia because Christina said so. By golly, we're going to do it. I figured you would have caught on to the fact by now. Just because I say we're going to do it doesn't mean we'll get around to it. But I'm glad you reminded me.
Blowing up.
Look at that. I just wanted to win stuff. Come on down and win some crap. It's the buzz.
It's not crap. What are we giving away?
A new car.
No, we're not.
No, you're right.
I'm going to let him choose.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though, if we just did it for birthday trivia and they just, like, totally pulled a car out of our back doors and was like, hey, here's a new car from the all-new Lander Chevrolet. No, we can't do that, though. But that would be